You are now listening to part two of the Opposition episode. Hope you enjoy.
And now.
Capital 263.
The myth.
And now, can we talk about other parties that are never going to be in power?
Let's talk about APA. Let's talk about our friend.
APA, I have one word with APA. 2 weeks of pitching. Let's move on.
You have two words? What were they?
2 weeks or 3 words. I have two statements. I can't. Do work, stop eating Zimbe. Let's go.
No, APA.
Ja, you know, I really want him to be president.
No, man. I don't even want him to be
president. President of what your church
no,
group.
Yes, no. I don't actually want him to be president. And I'll tell you why. It's because he simply does not understand the realm of politics at all. And this is not
maybe
somebody.
That's what we need.
No. The thing is,
we need a president who doesn't understand politics, who's there just to do the job.
But the thing is, to do the job, there are certain political things you're going to have to do. We can't neglect the fact. You can't say that I want to be president, but I'm not going to hold a rally. It doesn't work. It doesn't work, you know, anyway. There's certain things that you just have to do. It's part and parcel of it. Whether you like it or not, you're going to have to go and kiss babies. It's just part of the process. And it's how people build off the hype. If you have a rally with 10,000 people show up, people, whether they're paid to be there or not, people build off the hype. It gets people excited. And these are some of the things that you need, especially going into an election. You need that hype. You need that attention. You need people talking about you. You need people to say, you need people, you know, the branding. People need to see you. It's a contest. It's not just about talking and sitting down with people. Because
you see,
literally, you need 2.6, as it stands, you need 2.6 million people to vote for you.
Okay, so if I ask for Nkosana and Robert to have a love child, who will be the next president, then that's okay. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Because you've got the hype, but you've got the smarts. No, he's not. No, he's not. After that $15 billion comment, Nelson need not speak to me.
Who's the first person that said $15 billion? It was Robert. There's your love child.
No, Robert. You know, nobody needs to say Robert's name. No one needs to say Robert's name.
Yeah, he roped your belly. It's like I'm trying to come here. I could do that. Could do a $15 billion.
Anyway, let's move on to
Pisa. So that's Alonso, I know Nkosana, and I think he'd actually lose to Manyika. I think Nkosana will lose to Manyika.
I agree with you for different reasons. I think when you're president, you're going to have to convince, especially if you want to do the right thing, you're going to have to convince Zimbabweans to do very difficult things. One of those things is, for example, cutting the civil servants' wage budget, which means you're going to have to fire some civil servants. If you can't organize people and get them believing in your vision in a large group, you're never going to be able to get people to make tough decisions. To accept tough things, you will forever be doomed to be unpopular. Let's talk of Dr. Manyika.
I mean, listen,
and Evander Holyfield, his foreign policy is on point. I have to give him that. He's got all the heavyweights in the international sphere.
Who does
you know? If it was the diaspora voting, I'm sure he'd win the presidency.
Maya.
You don't think so?
Nope.
The American-based diaspora, all right.
You go Facebook.
You go Facebook.
I think. I think
Facebook.
I think if it was the diaspora voting, Uyuwe Tea Party would win ahead of PISA.
Even AC would get the diaspora vote.
The thing is with...
Please don't impose AC on us. I still live here.
With a shout out to AC, we're still looking for you. Give us a shout, Politics and Beyond. You know where to find us. With the thing with Manyika is, all intents and purposes, I mean, you know, looks like a nice guy, says, you know, the right things, but Azi, can't we? Like, that's just it. What is your claim to fame? You spent so long in the diaspora... you know, and that's not.
He's a Fulbright scholar.
And that's not and against. That's not against anyone coming from the diaspora, but it, I just don't see him connecting with people. And
yeah. No.
We saw the rally that he held, and great Arquita Shakema rally, but 2.6 million people, guys. And it comes down to structures, you know. Does he have them that go all the way to Malipati and you know, all those?
You know, the thing I'll give Dr. Manyika is. It's a funny story. In Marlborough, I was getting a haircut, and this guy, I think this is probably early 2016, and this guy was handing out CDs.
17,
CDs.
It was last year.
No. I'm telling you a story. It was 2016. Like this is my own personal story.
I feel like
and this guy was handing out handing out CDs. And... Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, like a political CD with the BZA colors. And one of the tracks was, you know, the things wrong with Grace Mugabe, all that. And it was him in person handing out these CDs. And you know, Sisi Franzi, who I've known for my whole life, is in Zwarasekwa there. And she was telling me about how he's been there for ages and for years. Coming, I suppose every time he'd come from diaspora, he would come... So in terms of a certain section of the Harare about the on-ground work, and he's been grafting, he's a hard worker, and I wish maybe if he had chosen either to run as a member of parliament, even under his own banner, or chosen maybe a localized campaign. So maybe if he had said, I want my MPs, we want to take over Harare City Council, I think that perhaps he would have been very successful there, and I probably would have supported him. I feel like he's overextended in the short time that he's had to campaign, but I definitely, as a politician, respect him more than I do... what's his name?
Nkosana.
The Bay. He's going to
beat Nkosana. He's going to get more votes than Nkosana.
He is going to get more votes than Nkosana, but it'll be 3 and 4 votes. Most of them his family. Listen,
wow.
I agree.
Wow. I actually think there's some of Nkosana's family who's not going to vote.
Manji BZA is going to get more votes than your MP Bay there.
Sha, don't be like that.
Wow. Moving on to the new. Ah, wait, we didn't speak about... Okay, I suppose we can rope her into this conversation. But let's go on to Joyce Mujuru. I think that's a bigger contender than... either of the last two. Joyce Mujuru came out this week and she said she had a meeting with RGM. He called her. She invited over to the house. He said, look, my daughter, I was lied to. I'm sorry we kicked you out. It was all Emerson and Constantino's fault. Yeah.
Does he remember there was a coup?
Oh, yeah, no. He also said that I'm not happy. No one comes to visit me. These guys sort of just forced, you know, they forced their own issues on me. I didn't want any of this. That was Robert. Also, Mai Mugabe and Joyce made up, kind of, I think, or according to what she said.
And it's a Mugabe.
Yeah, that's what
they came back from that.
No, okay. No. Because well, no, actually, Grace did say that Joyce should be baby dumped at some point. And then Mugabe said, Akandiroya. So anyway, that's the situation with Joyce and this meeting with RGM. Following that, she held a rally. I think it was in Glenview or was going to Glenview for a meeting or Glenora, yeah. One of the two. And she was stoned or she had stones pelted at her. And her people, there were pictures that surfaced with one of the NPP guys bleeding from the head. And allegedly it was ZANU-PF youths who committed this violent act. So that's the update with NPP. Joyce, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think she'd win the election.
No.
Just in terms of rallying the support. As we said, the biggest opposition is the MDC. And she can jump into the alliance, you know, If she were the head of the alliance, that would be interesting.
That would be very interesting, to be fair.
Yeah, that would.
It would be like a chimera. I think that would be that would be very interesting.
But they never let it happen.
No, of course not. And also partly because she's a woman.
Like 75%.
In the same thing, it's the same way we did the same thing. Me and you, Chris, we did the same thing in this conversation. We haven't spoken about Dr. Coupe actually being leading the opposition.
We sexually discriminated her.
I'll tell you why. It's because I think she's just an outsider right now. If you look at all the alliance events that have taken place, she hasn't featured anywhere. So I don't see how she'd rally up the support to then take control of that situation. When you have the rally that happened in Mutare, you had Chamisa, BT Douglas, you had who else was there? Mudzuri was there.
Mudzuri.
You see all these
and then
all these people that were there, was Welshman not there as well? So I don't see how she would come out on top from this situation. I don't think she has the support.
But doesn't Coupe bring the Matabeleland vote?
Welshman as well has that.
That's what Welshman said when he left MDC as well, what happened there.
Yeah.
The thing is, all politicians need to realize voter is renew. You can't say anything. It goes from whether you think you've got Harare East, whether you think you've got Matabeleland, whether you think you've got Mashonaland, people will vote Riripo. And I think a lot of people need to realize that you can't use a province, you can't use a constituency, you can't use a tribe as leverage, political leverage.
Over a political system, yeah. No, I completely agree with that. So that's why I left her out. Maim Juru, what do you guys think?
I think she'll get some decent parliamentary seats. It's not going to be more than 5. She has been working hard to build up structures. I think she's learned from what she knows in ZANU-PF. So she's been working hard to build structures on the ground. I think she has the potential to motivate women. So women are usually not a part of, case in point, a part of the conversation when it comes to politics. It's just assumed they'll vote with the men or their husbands. But she has been doing a lot of work with, especially Kumarua, so you don't really hear about it. But, you know, in the little places, Kurumonzi, she was there, in the quiet rural places where they don't have bandwidth, that's where she's been working. So I'm waiting to see how many seats whatever form her party will have because you just don't know with Maim Juru's party these days what it's going to be.
She will benefit from places like Mash East and Mash West where G40 was the strongest, and a lot of ZANU-PF strong candidates are going to lose out in the primaries, and I think that's where she'll benefit the most. I think she will win those, I wouldn't even call them necessarily G40 seats, but I would call them not Lacoste seats, those ZANU seats that aren't necessarily for the president. I think that's where she will benefit. So Mash West, Mash East, places where people like Anakao Konde used to rule, used to run the province, those type of places, if those people don't go back to ZANU, I think she can win.
Do you think she should run for presidential?
No.
She's going to, but the thing is she's necessary for presidential, because if the MDC candidate is stronger, you're going to see her numbers go up, and that's how they're going to
split the vote.
Talking about in the event that the election is not free and fair, Maim Juru is necessary as a presidential candidate because you don't necessarily give Emerson more votes. You just take votes away from whoever's second.
And you give to
the person who's third.
Fair enough. I see. And
so
now,
people would believe like Mujuru 20% and or like a Mujuru 10%, the next candidate, 30 or 35 or 40%. Yep. People would say, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, I think that if there's Nkosana, a strong opposition...
3% and I know it's rigged.
Mati?
Nkosana, 3% and I know it's rigged.
He got eight, which I understand, just got enough to make sure that the MDC wouldn't be over the 50%.
But if Nkosana gets 3%, I know it's rigged. That's just my prediction. I just know for a fact. I would like to
immortalize it. Who said on the group that if BZA gets more than 5%, he will buy everyone on the group beer?
Oh, for real? Who was that?
We'll have to.
I don't know. I think it might have been Mike.
Now moving on. We've actually been talking for a while, but I suppose the opposition episode warranted this.
There's a lot of them. There's 89. We haven't even spoken about the real ED. We haven't even spoken about the stupid, huge, 40 new patriotic front.
Yeah, no, that's what I wanted to go to. I wanted to go to this new patriotic front, and G40 has put out two documents, pretty much the same document. One is just an abridged version of the other. They've sent a petition or written a petition to SADC and the AU. They are out as New Patriotic Front. The document was penned, I believe, by João and Jonono.
It was penned by Jonono. It was João. Let's go to check it out.
Jonono was speaking. João was typing.
Okay.
Wasn't Anita typing?
Wow. Anyway, so Jonono and
that wasn't sexist, it was the Zodwa thing. It wasn't about
No, what I said was sexist. I'll own it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You think she's a typist?
Guys, let's
the typist was almost president, guys. Remember that.
Shout out to her. Her PhD dissertation came out. I suppose we can talk about that.
We'll talk about that.
I suppose she's in the opposition now.
Plagiarism was plagiarized. How does that happen?
Anyway, NPF. Back to the issue. NPF. So, yeah, they have this new thing. They're petitioning AU and they're calling it a coup, illegal, broke the constitution, all sorts of things. They say Mugabe was forced into it and wasn't willing. Chiwenga deployed the forces, Mugabe didn't. I suppose when you look at, if you take a comb, if you look at things objectively, you can see where their points lie. My issue with it all is that they genuinely believe that the people of Zimbabwe wanted President Mugabe in power. They clearly aren't taking...
The march meant nothing to them.
Well, what they argue is that it was people in the opposition anyway that were taken advantage of. So it was just MDC people or other opposition people that marched, whereas the majority of Zimbabweans, especially young Zimbabweans, who they say were mobilized at the Million Man March and all the presidential youth interface rallies, were not happy with the fact that President Mugabe is gone. And that
on the day of the march? You know, this really pisses me off. Listen, if those 60,000 people did not look like any crowd at the Million Man March, at any other march that happened since 1980. In fact, that crowd was just people who showed up to march. Not that I agree with the march, but let's face facts, Kuti, these people showed up of their own volition. The opposition was still gathering its skirts, I believe, and putting on makeup to show up for the inauguration of the unity government. Isn't that what the opposition was still doing? They hadn't even put themselves together.
Wow, no. Okay, now I will that is completely not the issue.
I think you're just taking cheap shots at the opposition. In your disappointment in the opposition, don't fall prey to government propaganda.
Okay.
Don't be used by the junta.
Ah, the junta's not using anyone, Shamari. She's
like, in the words In the words of João, Musaiti Suwandwa.
No, but you see, my biggest
issue.
Look,
on in terms of the G40 thing, Open, you said, where were they? And yeah, we're talking about João and Jonathan Moy. Factually speaking, they were running for their lives after their houses had been sprayed with bullets.
No, I don't think she's
saying where were they. She's not saying João
and Robert. She's saying all the youths that they say wanted Mugabe to stay in power.
Where were they when we marched for Mugabe to go? That's what I'm saying. Kuti, when you say there was a million man march. But listen, here's the honest truth. If you will say there's a march against Mugabe in the middle of town, and this is the ZANU-PF that we know. The ZANU-PF that we know has youths, the same ones who stoned Maim Juru.
Allegedly. Right?
They would have shown up and said, no, we want Mugabe to stay. There would have been clashes. It would have been violent. Is that not the reason many of us were afraid to go? But people showed up and they said Mugabe must go. They said many choice words about my Mugabe. But they said Mugabe must go. It was resounding. Regardless of who then used it for what purpose, this is the express will of the people that Mugabe must go. So where these millions of young people who want Mugabe to stay?
So my question to you guys, okay, the express will of the people was they want Mugabe to go. Are you saying that translates to that they want Mnangagwa to be president?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so you can then agree with you, whatever points they have about ED being president, they might be fair.
So this is the argument I was going to make, is that their problem is the way that they are phrasing their issue, or the way that they are trying to context their issue. You can make the argument that this was a coup. You can make the argument that Mugabe was forced out, but you cannot then make the argument that people did not want Mugabe gone. That is an outright lie. They didn't want Mugabe gone, but so many
people... I mean, Mugabe sometimes doesn't even know he's gone.
So, really,
how does that make sense?
But so many people came out that day from all walks of life, from within ZANU, from within the opposition, and they themselves had to battle with the fact that, yes, we want Mugabe gone, but no, we don't want it to happen at the hand of the military. Some people are still battling with that today. Some people are, you know, it's difficult for them to process what has happened. People within the opposition were in support with Mchangwa and all of these. They were raising their fists, raising their palms. All sorts of things were happening on that day. So this is where they are going to fall short. If they take a message to the AU or to anyone and say that people want Mugabe in power, that is an outright lie. That is not what the people of Zimbabwe want. They can make the argument that it was a coup. That actually, if they build
a good proper argument.
Case, if they actually build their proper case and take all the evidence, could pay dividends for them. But the way I see it, even people outside Zimbabwe, internationally, even within SADC themselves, I bet you when Mugabe got up and left, Kama probably popped a bottle of, something.
He drinks, eh?
Does he drink? He doesn't drink.
He popped a bottle of Sprite.
If he drank, he would drink rosé.
because you're drinking rosé.
I drink rosé as well. It's not anything to do with sexuality.
So that's where my argument is. But looking at what they're trying to do, these guys are honestly coming in as trying to scatter the waters. And what ZANU-PF need to do is they just really need to have a meeting between ED and RGM, drinking tea, Maim Kabewaripo, because they will continue to push this agenda. And obviously, even if those picks come out, they'll say, oh, but they were forced to do it. You kind of need Mugabe to end. This is an issue that Mugabe himself
must end.
Do you think Mugabe
is the one pushing this agenda then?
No, I don't think so. I think it's Jonono and João. I'm interested in finding out where Xavier is, because he's been very, very quiet. And I have said that I suspect he's trying to get back in. He's trying to find a
loophole. Chris, you can't try and break that story because it's already been put in the newspapers.
No, but I spoke about this. No, so if you go to my podcast 2 weeks ago, I spoke about this before it was in the newspapers.
Listen about my podcast. What are you doing?
I spoke about this 2 weeks ago, Shamwari. Ndini, inini. Number
one, Kushtaura. At the end of the day, we're saying the opposition is in trouble. ED came in power via coup. G40 was useless. And
Aluta continue.
Aluta continue. Ngomandio, listen to the Wiki new album. Wiki D's new album if you want proper political commentary.
Wow. No, but we really do.
Only conclusion. We've not agreed on a single thing this whole episode.
No, we really haven't. We really haven't. And it's sad. Inini personally, people know where my biases are. So it was. I should know.
I don't like anyone. I think everyone is bullshit and they should all just go jump. If we must pick.
You once dated someone Munugwe Mbizi.
I did. I was there in 19... The things I went through to be a card-carrying member of the MDC. One day I'll tell you the story. Anyway.
But that's the state of the opposition right now. As far as I can see it, this message ED's taking to the world is working. I don't know if it's working back home. I honestly don't know, because at the end of the day, it's nice to hear Zinu Jakanzi, Zimbabwe is open for business. Yeah, it's nice, but wanoadla kuchikasadza. And the rains haven't been kind. We do have
coming. They've come.
Yeah, but
it's been raining quite a bit.
But
Well done.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Because if they fail, I don't want them to say it was a drought.
Who? Oh, ZANPF.
Yeah.
Of course, they'll say it was a drought.
Let the rains flow. Let the FDI flow and let them expose themselves for the incompetence they are with everything going on. Let the sanctions go. Let everything disappear. Chonyasu Rwanda participants so Chonyasu wonder on the any anogono manage economy.
Well, then that becomes on who's managing the economy. Because FDI, I'm not going to let you chill and do with it what you want.
Mdara Shamari, you're forgetting good in Kuma 90s.
You're an actual fool. Wow. We've been at this for too long. This was MDC and others. Obviously, we expect a lot of the MDC, and we are quite saddened. Shout out to Henry for defending them.
Well done, Henry.
Honestly, you raised good points.
If you guys don't want to vote for the opposition, there's very good reasons not to vote for the opposition. And if you don't want to vote for ZANU-PF, there's also very good reasons not to vote for ZANU-PF. I think this is an election where people must be selfish. Think about what you think is best for you and your family. And at the end of the day, that's what they should be fighting for. They shouldn't be fighting for that's what it should really be at. And no one can be angry about it. I would like politics to get to a point where we can have the same conversation and disagree vehemently and then go away in our separate ways without timmering each other in a matombo. Look, who you're voting for in 2018, it should be a matter of food, but it should never be a matter of life and death. And hopefully whoever comes into power in 2018 and going forward ensures that we never have to have politics Europa again in Zimbabwe.
That's a good last word to end on.
Well said.
Yep. Next week, I think we should talk about what exactly is a free and fair election. Because
yeah, and also talk about Priscilla, Justice Chigumba, yeah, and her new Chigumba appointment. Congratulations to her and
the new chairperson of SEC.
And all her family members who listen to our podcast.
Also, by the way, I feel this episode we were a lot too critical. In hindsight, we weren't. We didn't speak about the positives of Biza and. Even the MDC.
And all.
Well, Henry.
No, we'll have a part two. And for any of the upper bizarre NIPP, New Patriotic Front et al. Members who are listening, please feel free to join. Just send us an inbox and we'll bring you on.
Yeah, because it's from where I'm standing, it's very hard to
we're going to get in trouble. Let's go. Bye, guys.
Anyway, yeah, you can find me, Chris Charamba, all social media. Follow us, Politics and Beyond, on Twitter and Facebook.
I'm Upenyu Makoni everywhere.
And I'm Zimbabwe at Twitter.
And now. Capital 263.